live at Cincinnati, Ohio. This is episode 514 of the Wilderness Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. Leech and Footer, Footer and Leech Edition, excuse me. I'm Will Leech. I think you're spending part of your day with me. I am live. I don't know if you can hear me right now. I think so. I'm pretty sure you can. I'm here. Delighted, honored to be with Allison Footer in person, the first actual in person podcast of Footer and Leech. Hello, Allison.
I will. I can hear you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know you can hear me. But so, anyway, so hope we are at FanFest in the back. You can possibly hear Jack Morris talking. It's possible that I'm talking loud enough that Jack Morris can hear me.
There are worse people to have in the background than Jack Morris.
That's true. Without question. So if you hear any actual baseball insight on this podcast, it's probably Jack Morris in the background.
Not
so
us.
Don't be confused by that.
For sure.
So I want to just kind of talk about a few things. We're here. This is my third All-Star game, professionally my fourth ever. I went to the one in St. Louis as a fan, and I went to the last three in New York, Minnesota. It says that you've been to like a lot more.
I've been to a lot. So my first All-Star game was, I think 03. It was in Chicago.
Okay.
And I was covering the Astros at the time, and so it was like everybody who's the host city of the next year, all the reporters, all the front office people, they all go to that All-Star game to like get the lay of the land and make sure that they know what's going on. So all the Astros people were in Chicago that year. The Astros hosted in 04, and then I guess there was one in Pittsburgh, Detroit.
New York had one. There was the Josh Hamilton.
New York in 08, yeah. That was fantastic.
City Field, yeah. So, and it's weird because, you know, one of the things I kind of love about going to them, there's a couple of things I love. One, it becomes like everything just kind of turns into baseball town, but in like a different way than like the Super Bowl. Because when the Super Bowl, like when you get off the plane at the airport for the Super Bowl, everyone is carrying, you're at the Super Bowl, can we sell you crap already? And like, not to say there's not a lot for sale here, but I always find like the All-Star game, it's like obviously the World Series is baseball, Super Bowl, but for that thing that's like the national convention of the sport, where everybody that covers baseball is here, everyone always comes, it's the place where you see everybody. That's kind of what the All-Star game is. It kind of turns the town into this kind of charming little baseball feel for like a few days.
Well, first of all, the differences are a lot, but with the Super Bowl, the teams involved are not normally the teams that are actually playing in that city.
Right.
So it's kind of like a little bit more impersonal. The great thing about having an All-Star game in a small city, a small medium market, is that it's the only thing going on. That's what's so cool. So we have it in New York, and it was great, and their ballparks are wonderful. There's so many other things going on in New York. Whereas here, it's like people just get so excited. It's like when it was in Kansas City, it was Minneapolis, which is so great because it's all about the Reds, it's all about baseball, it's all about Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there are a lot of Reds fans I have not actually seen around Great American Ballpark for the last couple of months, which is fine. The team's bored, they're not playing well, and they understand it. Everyone's got Todd Frazier fever, and who are we to stand in the way of that? But I've been to this ballpark a couple of times. I find it a league average ballpark. Like, not on the upper side, not on the worst side. Like maybe replacement, not replacement level, but average level stadium. That's why I tend to think it's this. It's like not great, but not terrible.
Right. Okay. So I have two schools of thought on that. First of all, when they built it, when they first opened it, the best thing that I said about it was that it was clean. And it's really, I mean, it sounds funny, but like Riverfront Stadium was so disgusting. They didn't do anything to keep it up. And Mark Schott's like cigarette smoke was still like stuck in carpeting. And it was so, such an awful place by the end that when I went to a baseball game at the Reds ballpark and it was clean and shiny, it was great. But it was very boring. It was very bland. I didn't feel that they had done enough with the history of the team. There really wasn't a lot of representation from former teams and former players. But they really, I think now it's like 100 times better. They have a lot of...
It's been like 9 years since I've been.
They've put up a lot of statues around the ballpark. And not only that, but they've added so much inside the ballpark, and they made, you know, new clubs and new bars, new areas, you know, new areas. It's like so much more of a cool ballpark. And it was very bland when it first opened, so I have to say that it stepped up a few notches in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't see a game in there. I also feel like, too, I was down there downtown this morning, and it's like, because to me, Pittsburgh, obviously, Pittsburgh is the greatest place in the world. Like, other than maybe San Francisco, Pittsburgh is what they've done a great job. And it feels like Pittsburgh came after this.
Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Houston opened the same year.
So that's what it was in, right? That's right. And so, because it does feel like it feels like not quite Pittsburgh. Because even the downtown feels like not quite Pittsburgh. Of course, that's a great joke about St. Louis, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. They used to all have four stadiums that looked exactly the same. And they broke them all down and built four stadiums that are all kind of roughly the same. PNC is better, but they're all generally the same kind of thing. But at the pro level, here at FanFest, what I like here, and I'm doing a video about this.
Outstanding athletes in high school,
you and I work in the business. We see, I tend to be more of a yokel about this and not as cynical as I probably should be. And you're a bright-hearted, happy person. We all have some cynicism in our lives, but generally I don't find us inherently skeptical people. We're writers, we're journalists, we're somewhat skeptical.
For me, it's not a physical thing at all. It's all mental.
But you certainly, you can get worn down. I've written before about how beat reporters boo extra inning games because they would go home like a ton of baseball stuff gets lost when you're working, especially. Which is why I love FanFest. Everybody comes here unironically. Everybody comes here and they're so excited about the silliest things. There's literally a line over here trying to get your picture taken with a bat. and people are so excited. I saw someone there's a huge line around the corner over there to get a picture standing next to a stand-up cutout of Harold Mills. And I've met Harold Mills. You've met Harold Mills. He's a very nice man.
Yeah, I'd rather have my picture actually with Harold Mills.
But to me, that is wonderful. I kind of love that about FanFest. People are very, obviously, baseball kind of specifically is the sport that people love to complain about. They love to complain about it wasn't the way it used to be. Why isn't it like this now? And you come here, and I always find it kind of really refreshing because people just oh, cool, there's a picture of Sean Casey's head. Let's go see it. And I find that very fulfilling and almost refreshing.
Yes, it is. It's because people are just—they're so excited that the All-Star game comes to their city, and they've never really seen any of them. So I've been to so many of these that you look around, it's the same.
Yeah,
it's
kind of a traveling
show. But it's very cool. You have so many former players and people that meant a lot to this franchise throughout the years. And yes, you're right. You could just be people as we're recording this are coming up. They're like, what are you doing? And are there any t-shirts that you're giving away?
What we are doing is about as visually boring of a thing as someone could do.
But we do have t-shirts.
We have t-shirts.
So it's very, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going around Tuesday just to just stop people and talk to them about why they love baseball. Because I really I love baseball too, but making fun of baseball is half of the fun sometimes. People here aren't so tied into, the Royals are ruining the voting, or the Cardinals hacked, or I hate A-Rod. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with hating A-Rod, but I'm just saying that they tend to be more. This is a side thing to do with their lives. It becomes this celebration of it. So I think it's something to get kind of a little bit more.
As media members, we forget that with the things that we're immersed with that we have to cover, with news breaks and we have to follow something, 80% of the people have no idea what's happening. Yeah. Really and truly, they are just watching games. They pay marginal attention to what's going on, but they're not really, people in Cincinnati are not obsessed with whether the Royals are going to dominate the American League lineup because they don't care. And yes, there's a missense. You bring kids here. Schools out. I love seeing parents with their children and everyone just running around.
As we're taping this, later on today is the Futures game and the Celebrity game. You're going to the Celebrity game, not the Futures game.
Right.
I'm going to
neither.
I'm going to a Dayton Dragons game.
Yes.
So I'm going to neither.
Yes. I will be there while the Futures game is going on, but I will be interviewing the Celebrities during.
Of course. We were discussing Snoop Dogg is probably the biggest celebrity.
So what I try to do is have my questions kind of ready to go. General idea of what I want to write, so I'm not just sitting in the press box till midnight covering a celebrity softball game. So Snoop Dogg has thrown out several ceremonial first pitches in his career. And I have found them on YouTube. And what he tends to do is he goes, he's so long, long arms. Everybody so he goes over and he kind of throws it a football. He treats it more like a football than he does a baseball. He doesn't want to do the 50-cent thing.
Of course,
he's working very well for him. Okay. So for instance, I think the Blue Jays, the White Sox, and one other. And so I want to ask him about
What I've found is public celebrities over the years. So they wanted to get closer
famous
to the plate
people
and
love
really cheat
talking about baseball.
To get the bat
famous
out
people
and
do not like talking
no
about what they do
right.
Or
right.
And they don't like saying, oh my God, I'm a huge fan. Like they're so over it. And so you try to find something related to baseball and then they will talk to you.
Inch or two.
Which is funny, because usually people come in and people
did exactly
talk
what they wanted to do. They pulled the ball.
Exactly. So it's like in the celebrity softball game, it'll be like me, Entertainment Tonight, Extra, you know, and all these like pretty people, and I'm like, hey, I want to talk to you about the New York Yankees. They're like, oh my God!
Yeah. I think I feel like the locale probably makes a difference of quality of celebrity. You probably see in Cincinnati, it's a lovely city. It's probably like New York probably has a little bit more like amount.
Oh yeah, the one at Yankee Stadium was like Billy
Crystal,
Whitey Goldberg,
Chris
Rock.
Junior
and Nick Lachey, you know, and there's nothing wrong.
I am wondering, I actually had the thought the other day, I was like, I'm going to like just run into Nick, like Nick Lachey has had this day circled on his calendar for a very long time.
He is not just one of those like I'm gonna exploit like.
Oh no, he loves. He loves it.
Loves Cincinnati.
I remember that.
Loves the Bearcats. Owns a bar with his brother in Over the Rhine, a sports bar. And he's sang the national anthem. I've interviewed him before. He's really just a lovely guy. He's very nice. So I was very excited. And he's played in a lot of these too. So he's.
What does he do now? Like, is he still in a band? Is he still?
I don't think you can be in boy bands when you're 40.
Yeah, but is he like? Does he? What does a boy band person do when there's? I actually don't know. I mean, I'm legitimately curious.
You know, I don't think he. I think I see him on TV every once in a while.
Yeah,
like,
I guess you have just to be a professional celebrity. Where you have to
He's just being Nick Lachey.
Well, good for him.
And you have to really hand it to him that he's not like starting some reality show. Because that's what people do, right?
Yeah,
I don't have anything to do, so I'm going to be in a reality show.
But it's funny, I feel like, because I without getting into the details, I spent a lot of time in Cincinnati about a decade on a very regular basis, and then suddenly and immediately stopped hanging out in Cincinnati. We won't get into the details of that. But to say that, I'm very fond of the city, but it's very funny for me, the people outside Cincinnati, the thing that people always bring up to me when I'm just going to Cincinnati, they bring up Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
They bring up the Jerry Springer, not just the fact that he was the mayor, which he was, but he... The reason he stopped being the mayor was using a check for personal use that maybe would not you want your mayor necessarily.
Right.
But like it is actually really, it's a wonderful running town. I've been running across the bridges. It's like a perfect place for running. And actually, like I always like it. It's like right on the cusp because it's definitely Midwest. Like it's Midwest in a way that Cleveland isn't.
Right.
Like Cleveland is east.
Yes.
Columbus. Okay. You know Ohio. Like obviously.
Yeah, Midwest, but yeah.
Columbus is Midwest, but would you consider Cleveland Midwest or is it closer to the east?
I consider it Midwest, but it's so different from any other.
Yeah.
Wait. You're not gonna. You have to let me comment on the Jerry Springer.
Of course.
We have to talk about Jerry Springer.
Of course.
Okay. So Jerry Springer, before he was Jerry Springer that everyone knows about.
Yes.
Was
Mayor Jerry Springer.
Okay. So there was Mayor Jerry Springer, and then there was the Jerry Springer Show Jerry Springer. Mm-hmm. Okay. In between.
The transition period.
Yes. Transition period of many, many, many years. He was the lead anchor for the 11 o'clock news in Cincinnati with Norma Rashid, and they had no competition. They were so good. Every single person watched their broadcast every year. He would do these commentaries at the end of the
after he was a mayor. This was after he was
after mayor. Before Jerry. Okay. So he was this respected, brilliant, thought-provoking. He would go out. He would disguise himself as a homeless man, and he spent like 2 weeks on the street with homeless people. And to see what life was like there. He had all of these wonderful things to say in these commentaries, but he always was a sneaky guy. Like, you know, I mean, he was in his personal life. But Jerry Springer, at one time, he came to speak to one of my classes in college. We were all like, oh my God, it's Jerry Springer. And I was very disappointed to see what he became, but his show started there.
He's always seemed like an interesting guy before the show. I've heard that.
Very interesting guy. And a very nice guy.
Yeah.
And just a very gross human being now because he made a lot of money on the show.
It's
and
hard.
He could have done a lot of good things in society and in life instead he did that. And I was very bummed out about that.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Television has ruined many people. Not Nick Lachey, though.
Not Nick Lachey. As a news manager, he was awesome.
So I feel like the game itself, one thing I find kind of interesting about the game this year, first of the home run derby, I've been not a home run derby fan, just generally.
Right.
I'm going to give it a chance because like I like the time thing. They're doing something a little different this year.
Yes.
Whereas like they have a certain, they seem to be hurrying, which I like.
Yes.
I feel like that's like maybe not that, like, because the thing I like about it is the problem with the home run derby is not that it's not cool when they hit long home runs, but it just becomes deadening and everything is like, and there's nothing worse than like, you've been there all night, and someone on that last pitch waits for the perfect pitch,
right.
And you're like, stop, just swing, and go home. And I kind of love, anytime you can add like any sort of rushing, I'd like to try them like in the All-Star game itself, like have like a clock, like, because I wouldn't want that to mess with the integrity of an actual game.
Right.
But for like a home run derby, I think that has like an interesting wrinkle to it. Now, I'm actually going to give the home run derby a chance. I don't usually do that.
Well,
so,
I think that they, you know, they're realizing that it needs to be, you know, reworked in some ways. And let's face it, the home run derby now is not as interesting as it was an era ago,
right,
when the home run derby was actually like a freak show. So now it's svelte, athletic guys who can only do so much because there's only so much that a natural human body can do.
Right.
And so a 3-hour home run derby is a little
harsh. My theory is actually the home run derby has never been that entertaining. It just looked entertaining in those old Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, black and white things they were showing. It looked cool because it was edited. And they put it together in a live thing. So I'm going to give it a chance this year because
I like the names of the guys that are in it.
It's good.
Oh,
I was surprised who also said it. I have to say, when we were in St. Louis, he was like, he did it because he kind of had to, but he clearly didn't want to.
It's kind of funny because, like, if you look at guys the way their careers go, and when they're, like, young and they're, like, the best players in the game, they're like, I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. And my life is so difficult. You have no idea the stress and the sacrifices that I make. And then as they get older and they get a little more humble, and then when they're kind of, not that Albert's in the other room, but he's an older player, and I was like, oh, yeah, totally. I would totally want to do the
Chris Fielder's back.
Yeah, oh,
like,
my God.
All of a sudden, we love this.
That's exactly right.
Then of course we have the actual game itself. There's certain guys, obviously disappointed that Stanton isn't here. But certainly still, you know, it's Scherzer's not here. I feel like one of the things that always comes, it's a little bummer with the All-Star game, is the theory of the All-Star game of, all the great players play against each other. In reality, rarely works out that way. And but, you know, one thing that I find interesting with the All-Star game, you already kind of see it even with the home run derby. I feel like there's one thing where the new commissioner will be able to make his stamp on, here's changes I can make. You can experiment with the All-Star game because it doesn't actually, it doesn't count. And I think I actually, I'm not sure you think about this, but my feeling has always been, the minute that it's no longer disrespectful to Bud Selig to take away the home field advantage thing, he'll do it.
I think so.
That would
be nice. Because I think he has to realize, and that's a good point, because you just don't want to immediately change
it. Like, it was Bud's big thing. It started with his game in Milwaukee, something he really important to him. I think it's Bud Selig did a lot of things that worked. I think it's difficult to argue that this is going to work.
Yeah, it is. And they have to understand. I think that the way that they saw the way the voting went this year, and I think this is overall, they have to realize you can't have the most important element of the World Series riding on this game. It's the most important element. I mean, to say that there were 35 years in between a road team winning Game 7 and the next time a road team won.
And just the idea, too. And I think last year really hurt him, too, with the Wainwright Jeter thing. Wainwright was open about it. He should have been, because every reasonable person would be.
Oh my God, I can't say that.
It's Derek Jeter. Of course, I'm going to let him get a hit. I want him to do that. And then he got in trouble for it and had to back off it. To me, that is the ultimate example of why it's stupid. So I feel like it's got to happen next couple.
Yeah, and I remember when Billy Wagner was in the All-Star game, and he said he pitches differently in the All-Star game. He's like, I'm not going to pitch inside. He breaks up his arm for me in the exhibition game. And I admire him for that.
Yeah.
And he is absolutely going up there with a completely different approach.
You're going to be a senior this year.
And it's weird, but it feels like they need, to me, the exciting thing about it now is that once you start making this an exhibition, then you can start experimenting. And again, then you can actually start trying weird things and trying to do new things. And to me, I think it's coming. It's only a matter of time. So I feel like this is going to be for the last couple of years, maybe this year and next year, and it's hard to, because now even like they're not even all saying All-Star games, American League, National League.
Yeah, they're just like
now it's just next to your National League. So to me, that's even more of an example of why they're gonna have to.
This is what kind of made me mad. Also, it's like if you're worried about running out of players, which is like the big like sticking note. Okay, first of all, number one, who cares if it wins at a time? Who cares? Why don't you just have like 40-man rosters?
So you advance from the first round to the final.
And honestly, and I get why Bud was upset. I get why he was upset and he had to do it. It was in his home stadium. There was labor issues going on at the time, so everyone was really mad at baseball at the time because like it looked like there was a strike coming. This was his home stadium. This is an embarrassing tie. I think it's clearly overreacted.
Yeah, so instead of doing that, he should have said, to rectify this problem of not running out of players, we are going to expand rosters to 35. Yeah. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Or let people come back in, people that haven't taken off on their jets. Also, I love that idea. People always say in the All-Star game, like, oh, players, they're going to take off on their jets in the eighth inning.
Starters leave. When they come out of the game, they leave.
But I don't think they have jets. Like, I don't think Brian Dozier has a jet.
They're not all, like, getting on their private planes leaving. But they are leaving in the fourth inning. And the fact that the game counts, they're still leaving in the fourth inning. Because we're kicked out outside the clubhouse, and we're grabbing them as they leave to get close.
Well, I was like, wait a minute. Wait, he's on his way out.
Yeah, and it's their fine. It's their prerogative. They don't really need a super But that is not, you're not going to make the players care more about this game. You know, they're like, okay, if I get out now, then I have a day and a half of All-Star break with my family before my season's
And frankly, I find in a lot of ways, it's funny with the last vote thing, Carlos Martinez made a win for the Cardinals. I and a lot of other Cardinal fans actually were kind of hoping he wouldn't make it. I kind of wanted to have like 4 days off. He's a young pitcher, relaxed. I really don't want him to pitch. I'm glad he made it, good for him, but I don't want him to pitch. And I find like, particularly with pitchers, but even with everybody now, I mean, you know, one of the things that baseball's evolved a lot last year is realizing how much players need rest and how like giving them days off during the season and filtering people out to the DH. In a lot of ways, I remember that with Pujols in 2009, right? Everyone was just like, okay, he had to do the home run derby because he was the host, but you were afraid he was going to hurt himself. Like, so in a lot of ways, the All-Star game has to figure out where it falls
in. Well, guys, congratulations.
It's just not important.
So no nerves tomorrow.
It's not important.
Are you cool?
And that's okay. You can still make it fun. Things that aren't important can be very fun. You just have to figure out how to make them fun without putting that sex.
Well, before Roger Clemens, he was like, you know, the spokesperson and the All-Star, he was a starter in the All-Star game. He was also at the gala the night before, like on stage singing until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he pitched in the game. I was like, oh my god, okay, dude is 41 years old. Like, shut him down.
On your victories.
He's a party animal.
He likes entertaining the crowds.
All right, well, listen, I'm glad I got to. I just want to come in. I actually have had a chance to
meet in Japan
and actually do this podcast. You probably know, like, the people go party, the people go drink, the people have fun, do fun things.
During All-Star, people...
Yeah, like people that we know. Like am I going to, like, run into, like, Keith Law, like, stumbling down the street?
I don't think Keith Law stumbles, but they like to get, you know, they're foodies. There's a lot of foodies.
They are, he is a foodie.
Yes, in fact, I ended up at a dinner with him at the winter meetings. Yeah. Not because
I would be intimidated to have
Jonah Carey invited me. Oh, yeah, it was a little intimidating. Yeah. But there was also big news that was, you know, the winter meetings were
right.
And so there was, like, all this news that was breaking, and it was all these, like, national writers. And I was just drinking beer.
Yeah.
But they are, like, hardcore about, like, finding these restaurants to go
I know.
To.
Keith Law's really bad about it.
Awesome.
And, like, I'm going to eat, like, Skyline Chili and, like, crackers in my hotel room.
Skyline Chili is so gross. Make sure you stop at
Grater's. It's been 9 years since I had Skyline Chili. I'm generally a Skyline Chili fan. But my parents live about 4 hours from here, so they go use them in the Cardinals play the Reds. They come here, and they love to take pictures of themselves eating Skyline Chili to mock me. So I'm going to have it. I haven't had it yet. But I'm a worried because every time I see him, I was like, yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible.
So I'm wondering, like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, now I'm actually eating it, I feel like I'm going to hate it.
Huh? Well, okay, so when I was in college, I hated it. But then I thought, you know, as I got older and I got, you know, grew up a little bit.
More sophisticated taste buds.
Yeah, trying to, like, not be so dramatic about everything. And I was like, okay, well, let's look at it. I never had it before 2 a.m., and I was never sober.
Right.
So let me give it a try.
That's true.
As
that's
a sober 34-year-old woman. And it was as gross as
that. As gross as it was before. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Hey, at least I tried it.
All right. Well, Allison, thank you for coming on. This was a very good time.
Good times.
I'll see you at the game, we'll do this again at the World Series.
Yeah, can I just say one more thing?
Of course, please.
I went to see a Jerry Springer taping in Chicago.
Oh, yes, more Springer.
Do you know what the topic was?
The mind reels with possibilities.
Teen prostitutes and their pimps.
And their pimps, oh, okay. So that was in a fun, like, I always just kind of assumed that was the, like, that was, they had like a week of that, like Shark Week.
So back then, he would have four topics that were good during the week, and then one that was salacious to get the viewers reeled in, and we were there for that one.
We were there for that one.
Yeah, very excited.
Were you with your family?
No, I was not with my family. I was with my friends.
You were with, I was with them. Well. All right, well, thank you. Thank you. This is fun. More Jerry Springer, the better on future podcasts.
Okay.
But, all right, so thank you, Allison. I will see you. We'll talk next week, but I'll see you at the next one.
Beautiful.
All right, this has been the Willis Experience. Oh, no, I'm going to do another podcast on Tuesday with Joe Sheehan. I do a yearly State of the Game podcast with Joe Sheehan. He's going to be on with me. Otherwise, this is the Willis Experience podcast. Please go to Sundogs. Please review us on iTunes. I will see you all. Bye.